This is Ray Mofield, and our guest today is A.M. Duke Jr. Everybody generally, I guess, calls him Junior because many of us knew his father for quite a lengthy time and knew that they've been a prominent family in the county for quite a while. It's good to have you in our broadcast studio, and could you open by telling us your age?
I was born on January the 7th, 1917. Make me 67 years old.
So you have now retired from the teaching business, which was your, I guess we could say, primary occupation?
Well, I spent about 42 years in the classroom.
Before we get into all of that, though, and the interesting things that you can tell us, we almost have to bow in the direction of the genealogist. They're always asking us, why don't you get something about their background on there? So we'll ask you your father and mother's name.
My father was A. Naaman Duke, and my mother was Cleo Lentz Duke. He was the son of Jack and Nancy Duke, and she was the daughter of Jeff and Dora Lentz. Now, Jack Duke's father, I never did know anything about him. I think he had left his wife and my grandfather when he was a small child and went to Texas. Jack Duke came across the river at Haddock's Ferry over into Marshall County on foot shortly after the Civil War, looking for a place to live. I think he was about 12 year old at the time. Finally found a place down near Calvert. Then, stayed maybe a year, and then he found a place, a job up in George Glade, working for the Jackson Cope Mill, clearing land and helping around the mill there. And that was my grandmother, Nancy Duke's father. He met her, and of course they married. And that's about all I know of the Duke side of the family.
Say, that's good.
Of course, my grandmother, Nancy Cope, was the son of Jackson Cope. He and his brother ran a huge grist mill, flour mill, sawmill, and whatnot at Glade. Cleared most of the land around along the railroad there.
Now, that was between Benin and Hardin, wasn't it?
Yes. Out a little past what we call Dogtown now, of course. Glade was a flag stop on the railroad. Her grandfather was Chesley Cope. And, of course, they died back, you know, years ago. She was, 1 of about 7 or 8 children. I really don't know how many, but, you know, quite a large family. But anyhow, she married my grandfather, and they lived most of their life in and around Glade until they moved to Benton.
Well, you know, it's amazing how names show up so frequently now. My great-grandfather, Howell Edwards, married my great-grandmother, of course, Ely Cope Edwards.
That was my grandmother's aunt. My grandmother.
We're slightly kin to one another then. I never knew that before.
I didn't either.
But if you won't deny it, I won't.
Ain't Ely Cope Edwards. I remember when I was a young child, we carried my grandmother to see her. She was on her deathbed about that time.
Both lived out their lives right on the edge of Marshall and Callaway and are buried at Stewart Cemetery. Well, we've got a fine background for you then. Now, you were, you're now 67. You started to school in Marshall County?
Went all my life in Marshall County until I graduated from high school.
Where did you begin?
All at Benin. 1 year I went up to Cherry Grove, until school started at Benton. You know, the
Cherry
school.
Grove. Now, where was that?
Well, that is out on 58. It is exactly where Aaron Ivey's home is now. Or Aaron's widow's
home. Now, that
home.
Is toward Mayfield.
Towards Mayfield on 58. We lived about halfway from here between, the courthouse and the schoolhouse.
Well, I don't know that I'd heard of Cherry Grove before, but I'd heard that there were about 50 or more one-room schools in the county at one time.
Yes, there was a one-room school there at Cherry Grove. It stood exactly where Aaron Ivey's.
And the rest, of course, was in Benton. Do you remember any of your teachers?
Well, I remember most of them, I think. My first teacher was Maud Grubbs.
Well, that's a new name to me, so.
She left here and went, I think, toward Washington and stayed there again for the remainder of her days, as far as I know. I also went to Ruby Wade, who's still living. Ruby Harrison Love, who's still living.
Yes, I know her.
And I probably went to fourth or fifth grade to her. Had a teacher named Ruth Saunders, another teacher, Ernestine Tisdale. Now, those were my grade, and then, of course, I went to the eighth grade to my father. That was my grade school teachers.
And over in high school, you went to high school at Benton also, I presume?
Yes. While I was in high school, of course, we had Herman Miller, Matt Sparkman, Tullis Chambers, Addie Fawn, and Janie Bell Harper, who was Janie Bell Edwards now. There's Edwards. I believe that's most of the high school teachers that I can recall. Oscar Shamel.
Yeah. All right, now, what did you like most about school?
You mean what subjects or whatnot? Well, I was always liked my math classes better than anything else. I didn't have much time for history.
No.
I liked English very well.
But now you,
and math.
Did you not study agriculture?
Studied agriculture at Tullis Chambers. Yep.
And then you took some of that at Murray also, didn't you?
Well, not for a good while. But I graduated at Murray. Let's see, I finished at Murray in 1935. I went back the summer of 36. I began to teach school then that year. Taught at Brewer's, 7th and 8th grade. The next summer, I went back to Murray to summer school and got about 9 hours on my master's. I taught 2 more years at Brewer's, and then I quit and went back and studied agriculture. I'd never taken a course in agriculture prior to that in college.
Well, am I remembering this correctly or incorrect? Did you teach ag for a while?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I had about 11 years of Smith Hughes agriculture. But I went back to school at Murray for one semester. I went over to Western for a semester, and then went to University of Kentucky for a year and got my master's degree and also qualified to teach Smith Hughes agriculture.
You were kind of being a retread at that time, though.
That's right. I'd had 3 years experience teaching school before I ever took the first course in agriculture.
You remember anything that happened in grade school or high school that was particularly funny or unusual to you?
Well, not particular anything that I can recall. Of course, I remember a lot of incidents that happened. That
did you ever, ever have to stand with your nose in a ring?
Quite often. Quite often. Yes.
Yeah. I was talking to Mary Green, and she said that she and Gladys Hauser had to stand in the closet or something or other one day.
Stand in the corner or sit on a little stool with a dunce's cap on or put your nose in the ring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I remember one time another boy and I had gotten into a fight during the recess period, and the teacher called us in and talked to us and then told us to go get us some switches, and we locked left arms, rolled up our britches legs, and had to whip one another with the switches.
I never saw that, but I remember going to Thaw Phillips one time at a country school, and he asked me to go cut the switch. Well, this had gone on for several days, and they're about to wear me out. So that day, I decided to try some reverse psychology, and I cut a switch as big around as my arm. You would have hardly dared to have whipped a mule with it. So when I brought it in, Mr. Phillips began laughing, and he said, "You don't think you've been that mean, do you, Ray?" And I said, "No." He said, "Well, I'm going to let you go." So it worked. Of course, you couldn't do that forever.
Well, that's true.
All right, now let's see. You grew up, and we've even got you through college. You got married.
Married on October 20th, 1936.
So you had already graduated from Murray State.
And taught 1 year of school. Mm-hmm. After I taught the first year of school, then I married Hattie Sutherland.
Did she live in Marshall County?
Born and raised in Marshall County, and the only place she ever lived until we married was in the house she was born in, which is over
toward the Brewers area.
Down Brewers, down back there, farm bordered Clark's River, on the southeast side of the. Mm-hmm. That fork of Clark's River.
I never did ask you, but did you have any brothers and sisters?
Yes, I have one brother and three sisters.
And your brother was Joe.
Joe Duke. My sisters, in order of age, was Kate. She married Frank Hinton. Anna Mae married Volley Bryan. And Nancy, who married Donnie Mathis.
Now, what about your own children?
I have four children, Donald, John, Betty, and Dan. Mm-hmm. Donald was born in 38. John was born in 43. Betty in 45. And Dan in 47.
All right, now tell us a little bit about how you remember Benton as you were a youth. Can you remember back to, say, 1925 or so, maybe?
Yes, I think so.
What was Benton like as a town then?
Well, Benton wasn't much of a town. Oh, it was a good town for the size, but I mean, it wasn't very. I used to think that I knew every house and every person in Benton, and I believe I did, and where they lived.
Population then was probably fewer than 1,000, wasn't
probably
it?
Probably 800.
About 800.
I'd guess somewhere around there. I really don't know.
Well, I believe the 1930 census showed almost exactly 1,000, so.
Well, this was probably a little less than 1,000 then, some less than 1,000. Oh, I remember the old tobacco warehouse, the first basketball tournament. I remember attending was in a tobacco warehouse.
No, they played it there, a loose leaf floor.
That's right. When Ted Chambers came to Benton, he went down and this tobacco floor, which stood down about where long concrete is now,
mm-hmm.
and roped off an area there, and they had county tournament there.
You knew Joe Creason, didn't you?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I knew Joe Creason. Joe Creason was, I believe, in the class of Joe Duke. I believe they were in the same same class.
Just a year or two behind you.
About 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Joe was always telling about funny things that occurred and about making, I believe I remember a column where he talked about making a rabbit gum. Now, I haven't heard of those in a long time. Do you know what a rabbit gum was?
I've made lots of them. One winner, I think he's the winner of 30 or 31. Joe, my brother, and I had 28 rabbit gums. We'd get up and run those rabbit gums every morning before daylight. And we'd catch four, five, six, maybe as high as seven rabbits.
Mm-hmm.
We had a little brooder house. We'd bring them in and turn them loose in that brooder house. We'd keep them there and feed them. We got ready to eat a rabbit. We'd go down and get one and kill it, and we'd have a rabbit.
And
that's what you call a depression gun.
I have never heard a story like that. But it improved the quality of the meat, no doubt, didn't it?
Oh, yes. We thought they were delicious.
Well, actually, they were good. Now, we talk about depression food and so on and so on, but there are people that like it as well as they do chicken. And
some people prefer a good young fried rabbit to chicken.
I know my mother would take milk and flour and make a good cream gravy out of it that I thought was delicious. To eat along with the fried rabbit and so forth.
Oh, yeah.
And really, I guess it was better. There was more meat to it than there was squirrel, wasn't it?
Never did like squirrel much, you know. A lot of people ate squirrel, but I never did care for squirrel.
Yeah.
I like birds.
All right, now, let's, time goes so quickly. You taught. Now, you've also held some other some other jobs in the school system. Were you not principal at Hardin?
I moved to Hardin in July the 1st of 1941 and taught a year, and then the next year, Carl Johnson was principal, and he had left Hardin, and I became principal at Hardin and stayed there until, I guess, is March of 51, about 9 years, I think. I never did count it up, but somewhere through the 40s.
Now then, you were in the central office for a while. Were you attendance
yes.
officer? Or
yes, what they call attendance officer. I don't know just how long, of course, in 1951, I resigned from teaching school and went to work for McGraw when he was building the atomic plant. And worked there 3 years. Then I came back in 1955, I believe. Anyhow, when this Minimum Foundation Program went into effect. I believe it was 55. And that year I became a tennis officer for the Benton City School, which was at that time just a fourth-time job. You know, they weren't large enough school to have a full-time. But prior to that, the tennis officer served both Benton and the county. But when that went into effect, Benton had their own and the county had a full-time a tennis officer. So I went to work at Benton as a fourth time. You know, it'd be about 4 or 5 days a month. That's about what it'd work at.
Yeah.
And the salary reflected that. I'll say that. But that's the way I got back into teaching. Of course, I stayed in as a tennis officer until I retired.
Uh-huh. How long have you been retired?
I believe I retired.
A couple of years?
October, 2 years, first day of October.
Well, how do you like retirement?
Oh, I like it fine. Yeah, I really like it fine. Yeah.
When you were at Hardin, there are always a lot of characters around Hardin, and I say this with a great deal of love because always one of my personal friends, and I think I mentioned him every time I was on a radio broadcast, was Caddy Brown. You knew Caddy, didn't you?
Caddy was an old standby at Hardin. He just couldn't hardly go through Hardin or mention Hardin without somebody asking about or seeing Caddy Brown.
Yeah.
And, of course, he had a little trouble with his eyes, you know, his vision, whatnot. Mm-hmm. But he and I have spent many a day in the field together hunting. He wouldn't take a gun, but he'd take him a walking stick. He'd make every step I would.
Yeah.
yeah, Caddy.
I've sat in his lap many times when I was small, and he'd tell me stories.
We used to say that he raised every kid in Hardin as a generation. As he grew up, you know, he'd pick up a new generation, and just, Caddy thought a world of all the smaller children, and they all thought a lot of Caddy,
mm-hmm.
especially my family, I know.
All right, you're now retired, and what do you do to while away your time?
Well, I have a little piece of ground out here, and for a while I had some cattle, and then and now I'm in the horse business.
You're in the horse business?
Mostly horses.
Are they saddle horses?
Saddle horses. Of course, they mostly belong to my grandson, but that's my interest now, of course. I spend time out there.
Do you raise any garden?
Have a garden every year. Always raise enough feed and cut enough hay to feed whatever stock we have.
Uh-huh. You've had a little corn, I suppose.
Corn and Timothy, clover,
mm-hmm.
you know, hay and pasture. Spend yeah. most of your time fencing when you have a farm.
Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful. I enjoy farming, but I haven't farmed in a long time. I guess you do most of your farming in the winter around the hot stove.
Well, I really enjoy it because I never was a person to, you know, just sit down. It seemed like I always wanted to do something, and I enjoy being out, riding the tractor, mowing, bush hog, just watching the cattle. My wife says to go out there just to look at them.
Yeah. Well, that's part of the fun of it, isn't it?
That's what you enjoy, seeing them, sure.
<Yeah. laughs> And a lot of folks can't understand that. But on the other hand, it's hard for some of us to understand some of the games they play. And are you a big golfer?
Well, I'm just about retired from golfing. I've done lots of golfing in years past, but I had a little bursitis in my right shoulder, and I just couldn't swing the golf club much.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't golfed in 2 or 3 years.
Well, very good. We're going to have to bring the interview to a close in about a minute or so. Do you have anything particular you'd like to tell, some kind of an unusual story or an accomplishment you've made, or?
No, I don't think of anything, you know, that would be particularly odd or anything at all. I just say I've lived a normal life. I've enjoyed it, and if I had my life to go over, I don't know of anything I'd change.
You'd stay in the school teaching business?
I would. I got out for a while, but I went back.
Because you missed it.
I missed it, yeah. You miss the association of the teachers as much as you miss the students.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the group that you associate with. You just miss them.
Well, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure having you on the oral history program today. You've just listened to A.N. Duke Jr., who was born in this county, grew up, married, raised a family. His parents were born here, and he spent, as he said, more than 40 years in the school system and is now retired and enjoying life. Tune in again next time. This is Ray Mofield returning you to our studio.